Hey, welcome all. Welcome to another episode of Strange Days. And I've been on much the last few days, so I got a few things here. I'll pump out some info and just see where it rolls. Nothing too fancy, nothing structured. I'll just go through some things here in the background and just see where it all goes, guys.
It was hard to know who was more crazy. Sith Osman,
my life, friend. The vision deepens. All that remains are memories. I remember a time of chaos. Wicked dreams. This wasted land. But most of all, I remember the Rogue Warrior. We call
Sith Osman.
To understand who he was, you have to go back to another time. When the world was powered by the black fuel, and the desert sprouted great cities of pipe and steel. Gone now, swept away. For reasons long forgotten, two mighty warrior tribes went to war. And touched with a blaze which engulfed them all. Without fuel, they were nothing. They built a house of straw.
Uncle!
What are you looking at, bitch? Huh? Oh, yeah, you didn't want to fucking know, did you? Hey, fucking the size of... Hey,
Jesus, settle
down.
That.
Feel that.
You suck. Hi.
Anyway, sorry about that, Uncle. You're, Marie's a little intoxicated.
Are you not on your own thingy, Rob?
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
You can hear us.
Who is it?
He's on. No, it's Miss Rose.
We are. What's going on, Uncle?
Not much.
Can you hear me okay? Sorry for that chaotic background noise. There's a bit of static.
Yeah, I can hear the voice. Yeah, man. Yes.
Yeah, it was Marie.
Ah, yeah, she on the piss again, the bloody Warno.
No way. Mr. Marie.
Mr. Marie.
I'm having a night out with Miss...
Mrs. Jacob. Mrs. Jacob.
It's Ms. Jacob. Ms.
Ms. Jacob, as we would like to say.
To the layman.
What are you... Music tonight or nah?
No, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
No, it's Saturday night.
Yeah, all right. Well, me and Marie are going to jump in tomorrow night with you when the music's on.
You're going to be away tomorrow night.
It's only Friday tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Saturday night. Does that work with you? Saturday night, you want to do music?
Yes, Saturday night. We worked it out. We'll do it for sure.
Yep.
We'll get on, yeah.
Yeah, well, me and Marie will jump in Saturday night. We'll do some music stuff.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
looking forward to it. See you then, Mr. Oz.
What are you up to today?
Well,
we're just reminiscing today.
Yeah, that's the way. Yeah.
Don't tell off on me.
What's that?
I'm just chilling out. I just started a show. I thought, I've got some stuff here to pump out about, you know, a bit of woo-hoo and all that. And, yeah, I just jumped on myself. Just relaxing back to a nice bourbon and a beer and a little bit of a cigarette, if you know what I mean.
Wacky-dacky, as we would like to call it. I think it's only me moment anyway.
Yeah, so it must be one of those days. Yeah, it's just... No, well, if you decide to come on and you just want to do anything later, you get an inspiration, I'll probably be on till about 11 or 12 tonight, so...
Yeah, well, I think Marie's probably got one or two more drinks in her before Mr. Marie's going to have to carry her to bed.
Excuse me.
Are you going out, are you?
No, we're staying here.
Nobody can drive. Nobody can drive. We're all over.
No one can
drive.
We might come on a bit later. We're not sure yet.
No, he doesn't want you on when you're pissed.
Oh, no, okay. We're not pissed. We'll come on tomorrow on Saturday night.
Oh, that's all right.
Friday night.
We'll see how it goes.
I'll put myself
in, right.
I'll put myself on a private broadcast so Marie won't embarrass herself in another hour or two.
Oh, excellent.
It's probably for the best.
What about Mr. Joe?
I just go by Jacob. I don't care.
Oh, okay. What about Jacob? He's going to embarrass himself more than I am.
Do you drink?
What's your middle name?
I'm halfway through something, you could say.
Yeah, right.
Is it pissing, Wayne? It gets it from your family.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's in the blood.
Oh, it's in the blood. You probably want to scratch this live and take over, restart after I jump out.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't mind it. Adds character to the broadcast. Yeah, I don't mind it, man. That's good.
Yeah.
Just can jump in. All right. Yeah, there's nothing.
Yeah, well, if we jump back on later on, I'll phone in. If we don't, we don't.
Yeah, whatever you just want to do. Yeah, nothing formal today for me. I'm just chilling out, getting through a few things that, yeah, I've come across, and that's it, man. I'm just, yeah, hanging back.
That's understandable. All right, I'll leave you to it.
Okay, catch you. See you on Saturday night.
Yep.
See you Saturday night. Okay.
Right. Back on track, guys, before I was pleasantly interrupted. Nah, it's nothing formal here tonight, guys. Just sitting back, chilling out.
Riders on the storm.
Trying to lay off the stress pill, you know what I mean?
Riders on the storm.
Sit back. Share a few things, tell a few stories.
Into this world with dawn.
Right.
Into the wasteland. And it was moon. In this blighted place. Have you learned to live again?
Let's go. Let's rock and roll.
You've been lied to about this. Our founding fathers were not old, contrary to our current government. Every time I ask students to describe the founding fathers in three words, I hear old white men. But on July 4th, 1776, James Monroe was 18 years old. Aaron Burr was 20. John Marshall was 20. Alexander Hamilton was only 21 years old. Betsy Ross was 24. James Madison was 25. Thomas Jefferson was only 33 on July 4th, 1776. Meanwhile, the other day I'm watching the State of the Union and I feel like I am watching a live simulcast of the world's most expensive nursing home. If you are a teenager or a college student or a young adult and you want to make a difference, stop waiting for permission for leadership from the people who refuse to leave office and have been in Washington, D.C. longer than twice the time we've been alive, who can't remember their own name, or who were born before the invention of the microwave oven. Yeah, that one hurts. Because despite what we've allowed to happen in modern society, our country is not supposed to be governed by the same people throughout their entire lifetime. And the world relies on young voices speaking truth to power. It did in 1776, and it still does in 2024. And if you need some more inspiration, here you go.
Hey, you bitches didn't realize how young all these founding fathers were in the Americas. Quite fascinating stuff, really, when you think about it.
It was hard to know who was more crazy, me or
Sith Osmond.
My life lay a vision deep.
Have a listen to this about B12.
It's an acute toxic flammable environmental hazard, and we ship it to compound pharmacies that put it in supplements and protein powders and energy drinks that you drink. Right? You ever heard of a Celsius energy drink? Celsius energy drink has four times the amount of daily cyanide that a human being is meant to ingest. Four times. That's just one sample. So drink Monster or Bang. I mean, drink Bang, not Monster or Celsius, right? Bang has methylcobalamin. This has cyanocobalamin. So, and we wonder what, you know, we're putting these toxic chemicals. He says, do you know where we get the hydrogen cyanide? Don't make me take you to that website because you'll just get up and leave. Do you know where we would get hydrogen cyanide? Because these facilities that actually compound this B12, they don't even pay for the hydrogen cyanide. Do you know where they get it? human sewage treatment plants. It is the waste from a human sewage treatment plant. It's called sludge. It's foamy yellow sludge. They scrape it off the top, they dry it, turn it into a powder, ship it to a facility, synthesize it with a metal, and put it in your vitamins. They take metal, hydrogen cyanide, and put it in our supplements. So that's exactly. So when you get home tonight, I want you to take all of your supplements and protein powders, spin them around, look for that word cyanocobalamin, and if it has it, throw it in the trash. Right? And do that for your kids too.
There you go.
All remains are memories. I remember a time of chaos. This wasted land. But most of all, I remember the...
Now this next one. It goes into these bloody battery-operated bloody cars, the electric cars, guys.
Facts about electric cars that no one is questioning about. One, battery production. It's estimated that the production of a battery for a Tesla Model S, for example, emits up to 15 tons of CO2, the equivalent of driving a gasoline car for about 8 years. Two, grid load. It's estimated that if one in four cars on the road were electric, it would be equivalent to adding nearly 1 million new homes to the power grid. 3. Source of electricity. In regions heavily reliant on coal for electricity, an electric car could generate more emissions per mile than a comparable gasoline car. For instance, in 2018, the UK's National Grid reported that EVs generate approximately 75 GCO2/km from well to wheel when charged from the grid, compared to 85 to 115 GCO2/km for petrol cars. 4. Battery disposal. Currently, less than 5% of lithium-ion batteries are recycled. This creates a significant waste problem as more electric vehicles enter the market. 5. Rare earth mining. It's estimated that a single Tesla requires approximately 15 kilograms of lithium for its battery. Lithium mining can use 500,000 gallons of water per ton of lithium. 6. E-waste. As of 2021, global e-waste generation was around 53.6 million metric tons, a number expected to increase with the proliferation of EVs. 7. Manufacturing emissions. The emissions from the production of an EV are around 30% higher than a conventional vehicle, primarily due to battery production. 8. Dependence on non-renewable resources. For instance, a typical electric car battery requires about 25 kilograms of lithium, 30 kilograms of cobalt, 60 kilograms of nickel, and 110 kilograms of copper. 9. Water usage. To produce 1 ton of lithium, approximately 1.9 million liters of water are used. This has led to water scarcity issues in places like Chile's Atacama Desert, where a lot of lithium is sourced. 10. Cobalt mining issues. About 60% of the world's cobalt is sourced from the Democratic Republic of Congo, where it's estimated that around 20% of cobalt comes from mines that may use child labor. 11. Land use and biodiversity impact. Mining activities for the raw materials needed for EV batteries can lead to significant land use changes and potentially harm biodiversity. For instance, lithium mining in the Atacama Desert has been reported to negatively affect flamingos by disturbing their feeding grounds. 12. Energy-intensive materials. The production of aluminum, which is often used more in electric vehicles than conventional cars due to its lightweight properties, is highly energy-intensive. For example, the production of a single kilogram of aluminum can produce around 10 kilograms of CO2. 13. Lithium availability. There is an estimated 17 million tons of lithium globally, which might seem a lot. However, with an annual production rate of 82,000 tons as of 2020, and considering the growth of EVs, there are concerns about the supply running out.
Yeah, so much for saving the planet, eh?
Rogue Warrior. The man we call
Sith Osmond.
To understand who it was, you have to go back to another time. When the world was powered by the black fuel. And the deserts sprouted great cities of pipe.
This is a pretty common thing, you know. Common, I'll get it right. Man, brain fog today. Absolutely brain fog. It's freaking incredible. Anyway, the truth about baby formula. So I'm just going to parrot what they're going to say here if I read it out. So I'll let them speak for it. Saves me reading.
In the formula. I had no idea either. We were told full of nutrients. It's so wonderful for hungry babies. And it's not. It's disgusting. Can we talk about, especially the soy formula, please, Sally?
Yeah, well, we'll get to the soy formula in a minute, but just the regular milk-based formula. This is not a scientific formulation, believe me. It does not resemble mother's milk in many ways. First of all, they're using non-fat milk in the formula and vegetable oil. So there is no animal fat. There's no cholesterol in this formula. Now, animal milk is rich in cholesterol and contains enzymes to ensure that the infant absorbs all that cholesterol, because cholesterol is vital for the development of the brain and nervous system, the gut, for hormone production. And babies produce a lot of hormones, even sex hormones, when they're little. And the babies in any species, they don't make cholesterol until they're older. And this is why they need cholesterol in the milk. And there is no cholesterol in baby formula. It's all skim milk and vegetable oils. And there's no better explanation for why our IQ is going down, our children aren't doing well in school, is that we're not starting them off with the type of food that nourishes their brains. Then there's the sugar in the formula. The sugar in milk is lactose. That's very important for neurological development. Very few formulas contain lactose because it's expensive. Then they're putting the FDA has decreed that all these formulas need to contain iron. And this is inorganic iron that can be quite toxic to the baby. Milk does not have a lot of iron. And there's a reason for that, because the infant needs zinc more than iron. And zinc, again, is critical for neurological function. So I would say that to say that these formulas are scientific is absolutely wrong. They're based on the economics, and they use the cheapest ingredients. You know, if you buy milk replacement powder for animals, the third ingredient is animal fat. Because they know that growing mammals need this special animal fat, and there's no money in sick animals. So they give them animal fat, but there's a lot of money in sick babies, unfortunately. It came on the market in the late 1970s, a soy-based formula. This should be completely disallowed. There should be a law against soy baby formula. First of all, it's extremely hard for the babies to digest.
Well, the other thing, it can't be good for the baby's development with the high estrogen content as well of soya beans, you know. It can do stuff to adults. What's it doing to kids, you know? Children, you don't know. I don't really like that term, kids, you know. Meh, goats, little baby kids, meh. But the children, you know, it's there's something just not right about it. Something smells a little bit unfishy.
Also, soy is rich in estrogens, and these flood the baby's bloodstream with estrogens. The baby on soy formula has 13,000 to 22,000 times more estrogen in its bloodstream. And this results in premature maturation for girls, and it can delay or stunt the expression of male characteristics at puberty. So the soy formula is just a... You know, I can't think of the words to describe how terrible it is, and it should not be on the market. I had a friend who worked with autistic children, and she once got the idea of asking the parents what kind of formula they had been on, and every single one of these autistic children has been on soy formula. So this needs to be disallowed. Gerber used to make a meat-based formula for babies who couldn't do milk, and that needs to come back.
Hey all, welcome to the room. Hey, g'day Nick, good to see you, mate.
For reasons long forgotten, two mighty warrior tribes went to war.
Let's go into some garlic.
Now, this one's going to present garlic as a hey, Nick, good to see you, mate. You know, you can try it as a good antibiotic, actually. There's a bit of a protocol that this lady's come across that she uses.
Garlic is a very potent antibiotic. To use it as an antibiotic, you would need to take 4 raw cloves a day. You could take the antibiotic sandwich, which is what I often do if I feel a sniffle coming on, a slice of sourdough toast, olive oil, and then a crushed clove of garlic on the whole slice of bread, avocado and tomato on top. Very nice. There's your antibiotic sandwich. You might have a couple of those. I remember I had a sniffle coming in a sore throat one day, and I had that for breakfast with some fruit. For lunch, I had it with a big salad and some lentils. So I had that because I don't usually eat at night. So I had that 2 days in a row, and it was keeping my symptoms at bay. I woke up the third morning, and I felt quite good, but I thought maybe I should have my antibiotic sandwich just in case. And the very thought of it, my body said, don't even think about it. So obviously my body was saying, I've had enough. That was good. I didn't need it anymore.
Very interesting. She goes on here about garlic is another one. She might add a little bit more to it, or she might be a bit rhetorical what she just said.
Very potent antibiotic. In fact, the research is showing is 6 times more powerful than tetracycline, and that's a common antibiotic. What about a baby? You can't give that to a baby. So what can you do? You can finely slice garlic and you can wrap it on the bottom of the baby's foot. And I would put the garlic on the cloth and then wrap the cloth over it and then bind that to the bottom of their feet. Little by little, the garlic eases in through the pores on the bottom of the feet. And the garlic knows where to go. It'll go to the chest or the sinus areas, and it can bring relief. It can even help to break up congestion in the chest. So my son James, when he was a little boy, he used to get a lot of chest colds, and I would put this on the bottom of his feet, shoe on, and I'd send him off to play, and every step he's taking, what's happening? The garlic's going into his body. You can smell the garlic on their breath within a few minutes.
Yeah, I don't even actually know her name. I play her a lot. I should at least acknowledge her name.
Nothing could stop me ever now. The world is crumbling. The cities explode.
Now, the best thing about garlic is that it's so good and it's so easy to plant, you know. I've got a little protocol here of how to plant it, and it's not really a rocket science. It's one of the MAC. If you can plant a potato, you can plant garlic, same sort of thing. Because, I mean, you can use garlic for cholesterol problems, athlete's foot, poor digestion, low energy, blood sugar, blood cholesterol, blood cancer, chronic bronchitis, yeast infections, respiratory problems. It boosts the immune system, increases absorption of iron, and zinc, you know, just goes on and on. It's a great antioxidant, breast cancer, cold, flus, leukemia, antifungal, vagina titus, and all sorts of toothaches, warts, stomach, diabetes, parasites, and allergies. I mean, that's just to name a few of the properties that garlic can do for you. Now, I'm not sure if this old mate's going to load, but he's going to probably go into how to plant it.
First off, you could plant.
That problem's loading this one up. I'll just go back in and out and see if it loads up. He's just going to
plant this from the grocery store. But they're often sprayed with sprout inhibitors, which makes it kind of hard to grow.
Now just pop the cloves off of the bulb using your thumbs. Easy to do. Just make sure you don't remove the papery skin. Now you want to separate these small, thin ones from these thicker, juicy cloves.
Because the bigger the clove, the bigger the bulb.
Now let's plant. Stab the soil down about 4 inches. Drop a clove in, pointy side up. Cover that baby up.
It's really that simple. You don't have to soak it in water, put it on a plate, or put it in a bottle or anything like that.
Pretty soon, you will have absolutely monster garlic. Just.
You know, I come across a good one about propagating like plants. So I'm going to try it out, actually. You get a banana.
and you chop it up in lengthways, like, but you know, chop it up into like the size of, I don't know, couple of mil anyway, at least probably the thickness of your thumb. All right, so you chop them, you know, you get about 8 or so bloody chops, and then turn them upside down, put them in a pot, and then you get your offshoot of your plant, dip it in honey, of course. Honey's a really good stimulant for roots. You don't really need honey, but it's even better if you can do that. Get a little toothpick and just put a little hole in the bloody banana and pop the bloody the cut piece into the bloody banana, put it in the soil and cover the soil and keep the soil moist. You're getting potassium and all sorts of crazy nutrients into your plant, trying to root and reestablish. I'm going to try it on tomatoes this year and just see if I can propagate them that way. It'd be great if it would work. So you can even take a banana and cut the straight along the lengthwise, put the whole thing into a pot with dirt, put seeds in it. I'd cut the bottom as well as the slice so the roots can eventually go through it. Put the banana in there with all the seeds, cover it over lightly with dirt, sand, whatever you're doing. Keep it moist, and you know. You can do it with tea bags as well, is another good one. You can pop a seed into a moist tea bag. They make a good seeding spout. Egg trays are great for seedings and things like that, but it's good how you can use other fruits and things to actually seed. It's a bit like even a pepper. The big peppers, we call them capsicums over here. You just cut it off, get all the seeds, sprinkle them around, fill the thing up with dirt, put it in the ground and watch all the peppers start popping out. A lot of things you can do, you know, that are quite easy. And it's quite creative and good to do with kids when you think about it as well. Now, this is the lady again. We're going to go on for a little bit about deworming, you know. I think a lot of our problems in life are worms and parasites, you know what I mean? I'm a big one on parasite cleaning and how to do it, how to sort of do it properly. I prefer to stun them. You can use that with certain things. There's a good one from India. I forget the name of it offhand. It's... Oh, shit, I just put the bottle here, actually, yesterday. Where are you? It's called, it's from the plant. If I can read the little sucker, it's pretty small. It's called the Ladraki seed. It's Lajwanti. You can look it up. You can buy it online as well. I bought mine from Maple Life, a company, and it's apparently an aphrodisiac they use it for mostly. But what it does, not that I've noticed anything like that since I was having it, to be honest with you anyway. It improves overall sexual health pretty much is the main thing that it talks about. It doesn't actually talk about parasites, which is really weird. But it's great for what it does. It doesn't kill them. It paralyzes them. And I use that, and then I get some, it's called, shit. Well, it's vitamin C, but there's another name for it. There's certain two ones. It's a powder, and it's like a laxative, anti-laxative, you know what I mean? Well, if you've got problems with the bowels. So what I like to do is use this, and about 3 hours later, purge my system out with something that's going to make you go to the toilet, you know. And I find that's a really good combination for parasites and worms. So I wanted to throw that out there. But anyway, let's get into this natural defense wormer. There's all sorts of things. You can even use pumpkin seeds, which are quite nice. You can buy them already cracked and green. What's the other one? Walnut, I think. I'm pretty sure it's walnuts. Well, some say black walnut, I think, but I just use walnuts as a fasting. If I fast for a day or two, I'll just eat walnuts. And Yeah, and just let the system go that way. Anyway, let's see what this lady's got to say again. She's not loading, guys. Wow. Come on, man. Okay. Oh, well, this is pretty much just what I said anyway. The main things are pretty much walnuts. Pumpkin seeds are really great for all those sort of things. Yeah, I'm not sure on this next one that I've got. Okay, this one's about anxiety and depression. I'm pretty sure he goes into the gut system. Some of these aren't very yet. It could be triggered. All right, so this is a little bit about gut health for 2 minutes, and just have a listen to this. You know how important these sort of issues are.
People that suffer from idiopathic anxiety or generalized anxiety because of low serotonin, they also have gut issues. You show me a person that's truly depressed, and I'll show you somebody that's also suffering from severe gut issues, either gas or bloating or diarrhea, constipation, irritability, cramping, because the same neurotransmitters that affect these emotional states also are responsible for the motility of the gut, the speed of the gut. This is the most overlooked thing in all of bariatric medicine, because people that believe that they have all of these allergies, well, I'm allergic to wheat, soy, corn, dairy, blueberries, bananas, gluten. Yes, sometimes those individual allergies do exist, but the majority of time, even if you talk to somebody who says, yeah, I get bloated, or I deal with gas or cramping or diarrhea or constipation or irritability, I deal with all of these gut issues, irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, all these names that we give to conditions of the gut. When you ask them, well, what are you allergic to? And they give you this laundry list of things. And then you ask them another question and say, well, if you're really allergic to corn, is there ever a time that you can eat corn and not have a reaction? The majority of time people will say yes. Okay, well, right there, you know you don't have an allergy. Allergies are not transient. Allergies are consistent, right? You don't wake up Monday morning being allergic to milk, and then you're unallergic on Wednesday afternoon and then re-allergic on Saturday morning. But what happens when people have gut issues that they can't explain is they always correlate it to what they last ate. And it's hard to make this connection. They're like, well, wait a second, I ate the same thing Monday and I was fine, and I ate the identical food on Wednesday and I blew up like a tick. So this is not an allergy. This has to do with the motility of the gut. So if you don't know what gene mutation you have that is causing a deficiency, then you don't know what to supplement with to restore gut motility. But once you do, the gut goes back to its normal pace.
All right, this one's about AirPods and smartwatches. What's actually going on with these little things? What's going on with these AirPods and smartwatches? We've got a problem with the system at the moment. It's taking a little bit for it to boot in. We're having a little bit of disruption to the system, or they're upgrading a bit. They said that it might be cutting out here and there.
And then burn my skin.
Well, just exactly. Take them back a bit. Might kick
in. Somebody said, I got an Apple Watch years ago and it burned my skin. Exactly. Because it is pinging a microwave spectrum on the skin. All the smartwatches, AirPods, you know, all these things. Soon they're going to sell you goofy glasses and everything else. All of those are pinging on microwave spectrum. And this was all shown in the 1970s with the U.S. Navy. They did 4,500 studies on the dangers of non-ionizing radiation, which comes from smartwatches, AirPods. We're not meant to wear those things. They actually weaken us. Wearing a smartwatch on your pulse, right here. It's a meridian line. And if I push that right now, I can feel my heartbeat. So if you microwave the meridian line, guess what you start to do? You start to mess with your heart. And then people start to wonder why they got health heart ailments. Wi-Fi, microwave spectrums. Copper. That's it. Copper, gold, silver, crystals, stones, whatever it is. You can just do that. You can do beads. You can do whatever you want. That would be the natural way. Our body resonates with those natural things. They don't need synthetic, weird Bluetooths, Wi-Fis, and all kinds of other stuff.
Look at this other one, and this is called radium.
Yeah, she's going to go into a bit of radium here, guys. Check this out.
Radium's the one that looks like chickweed, and this is very different because it's just like a little tree. It doesn't spread out like the chickweed. And I was looking around, I thought that was quite a good specimen till I found this one, and you see it branches out. But as you can see, it's so similar, isn't it? So to identify it, you know that this is the radium because it grows like a tree and that one spreads out. But the identifying factor is when you break it, can you see the white milk? There's a white milk there, and that white milk is an irritant. So don't put this one in your salad, okay? It's an irritant. Your husband will never forgive you. Now, you see that white milk there, you can put that on a skin cancer and burn it out. You can put that on a wart and burn it out. You can put that on a mole and burn it out. It's an irritant. It'll irritate whatever you put it to. So what you can do is you can put a little bit of olive oil or coconut oil or pawpaw ointment, something like that, around the edge of the mole or wart or skin cancer, and just put that on the skin cancer, wart or mole. It'll flare up. It's an irritant. It's doing its work. It'll look terrible, but that's what it does. If you go and have a skin cancer burnt off from the doctor, it's going to look terrible, isn't it? It's just burning it out. So remember, this one is an irritant. Don't eat it. But you can irritate or burn out any little bits and pieces on your body that you'd like to burn out. So that's really the only thing that you would use the radium for. It's also called milkweed because of that little dot of milk that comes out. Obviously, the thicker the stem, the better milk that you will get.
Let's go have a look at a little bit about Pharmakia and Uncle Pfizer. Pharmakia, phonetic spelling is Pharmakiah. Definition, the use of medicine, drugs or spells, usage, magic, sorcery and enhancements. There's no doubt about it.
Unthinkable, Pfizer and the feds cut a deal. And here's how they did it. Pfizer, located here in New York, owns a company named Pharmacia Corporation, which owns another company called Pharmacia and Upjohn LLC, which owns Pharmacia and Upjohn Company LLC, which in turn owns Pharmacia and Upjohn Company Incorporated. What does Pharmacia and Upjohn Company Incorporated do? Nothing. It's a shell created to be a legal shield for Pfizer. In other words, if Pfizer was at risk of being convicted, the shell company would take the hit. Think of it as the great-great-grandson of the parent company. Birthday, March 27, 2007. Just in time to plead guilty in a kickback case against a company Pfizer had acquired a few years earlier. With that conviction, Pharmacia and Upjohn Company Incorporated, which had never sold so much as a single pill, was excluded from Medicare. 2 years later, when Pfizer was in trouble with Bextra, Pharmacia and Upjohn Company Incorporated the shell company, stepped up again and pleaded guilty. It was like having an imaginary friend, an imaginary bad guy, to take the rap. And Pfizer, too big to nail, is still doing business with the federal government.
It is true that if a company is created to take a criminal plea, but it's just a shell, the impact of an exclusion is minimal or non-existent.
Did the punishment fit the crime? Pfizer says yes. It paid nearly $1.2 billion in a criminal fine for Bextra, the largest fine ever. It paid $1 billion more to settle civil suits, although it denies wrongdoing on allegations it illegally promoted 12 other drugs.
Bloody hell.
Well, at least I'm home. I can follow my intellectual pursuits. I offer records! Covered in bubblegum! My collection of rare, incurable diseases! Violated! No! My dinosaur trophy! Painted like Easter eggs! Ah! You idiots! I'm so angry. First, I'm gonna tear your lips out. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. And then I'm gonna gouge your eyes out. Yeah. We don't like this, friend. Yeah, you scary us. Good. You scared, huh? Next, I'm gonna tear your eyes out of the socket. And you wanna know what else? I'm gonna hit you. And you're gonna fall. And I'm gonna look down, and I'm gonna laugh. But first, I gotta take a whiz.
Now, this next one is an interesting thing, a study they've done with monkeys. This might be the last one, yep. Yeah, it's called the Primal Brain Hacks. I think it was about six monkeys or something they done it with. Check this out. Doesn't go for too long. I'll just try and load this one up here. I think it's about 8 minutes or something. It's not about the monkey. Oh, it's about humic acid. Ah, shit, that's a different one. Okay. When I said primal, I was thinking of that. I'll go back out. Humic acid. Check this out.
Shutting.
Yeah. It is running one of the worst. It's really bizarre. You know the weirdest thing? It's a valuable
component of good soils and humid.
Do you know the weirdest thing? It's usually whenever I'm on Podbeam, just about every time. I could be doing this, just sitting here, putting things together if I wanted to, or just chucking things that I'm looking at, and they're loading fine. I don't know what it is. It's really, really bizarre. But it's when I'm on Podbeam. And even if I've tried it even through Podbeam on the... I can't explain it. But anyway, I've tried different avenues, and it always seems to be the same. It's just... It's almost like a curse, guys. It's almost like a bloody curse.
Acid can be defined as a complex mixture of organic acids produced by the decomposition of vegetable or animal matter. Humic acid tends to be higher in soils with lots of organic matter breaking down over time, such as in jungles and other forests. And organic farmers and gardeners rely on soil with good amounts of it to help produce lush, abundant crops without the need for chemical fertilizers. Humic acid is closely related to another acid called fulvic acid, and although the two are technically different, they occur together in nature and are similar, and therefore the terms are used interchangeably for the most part.
Wow. Wow. This is appalling.
Mayors in close to 100 cities around the world have signed on with a program to phase out meat. The goal is to have zero consumption, none at all, by 2030. The program is C40 Cities. It's basically a voluntary pledge on a set of green agendas that close to 100 mayors of cities around the world have in fact signed on to. The program is in fact tied with the World Economic Forum. In fact, it's even on their website. And the WEF, of course, is in fact a partner on the United Nations Agenda 2030 program. The technical language they use is to engage in, quote, consumption intervention. And yes, the group...
Ye will eat the bugs. Ye will eat the bugs. And they want to give us bugs with parasites in them. Yeah, fan-freaking-tastic.
Openly states its intention to have city mayors to engage in consumption intervention to stop people from eating meat and consuming dairy products. In fact, it's on their website, and it's printed in the group's reports. They don't hide it. The main one people...
See, the thing is, they've got this fucking parasite thing that gets through the milling industries and all these other things. It was the same thing that was turning up in masks, cotton masks, because the parasitic worm thing can get through in its larvae through the processing units and can hatch. And what an even better environment to hatch in, with a nice warm bit of breath, cultivating the eggs, and next thing you know, you've got worms popping out everywhere.
Point is from 2019. It's titled The Future of Urban Consumption in 1.5 Degrees Celsius World. It portrays meat like it's the devil of a doomsday cult. It claims that stopping people from eating meat can save 160,000 people from dying every single year from things like cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. And it claims that stopping people from eating meat can help stop the big doomsday conspiracy of the climate emergency. The report explains the goals for dietary change as a type of intervention to save us all. It gives both progressive and quote-unquote ambitious targets to reach by 2030. For meat, for example, the progressive target is 16 kilograms each year. That's around 35 pounds. Now, keep in mind that the average American eats around 274 pounds of meat every single year. So that's a pretty major cut to how much meat you're going to be eating if you're one of those cities. So what's the ambitious goal, though? Well, zero. They don't want you eating meat at all. Same goes for dairy. It appears they genuinely believe that if they can successfully cut meat and dairy, at least what they say on paper, they believe it will stave off climate change. Just sacrifice your steaks at the altar of big government and we'll be okay. The list of mayors who are part of it globally, they're publicly listed on the C40 website. It's not technically a secret, but that raises a real question of, well, why do they seem to be trying to keep it a secret? Why are they trying to hide it from us? Why are they not just saying openly they're doing it? And why does it seem they're trying to avoid telling voters, you know, the citizens living in these cities, the real agenda on where their policies are heading?
Makes you wonder, doesn't it? It just makes you damn well wonder. The world's batshit crazy. The world's upside down, guys. Imagine the rise in Alzheimer's disease, isn't that from lack of cholesterol as well, coming up in this whole new scheme of things? They're going to have us running around like babbling fools while the elitists eat their like prime freaking red heifers and all their other aspects, getting the best of the best, caviars and all their delicacies, flying around on jets while the peasants are put to a different degree, I guess you could call it. Freaking weird stuff, guys. Very weird. Anyway, I'll catch us on the next episode of Strange Days. Try to end it at about the hour, which works out about now. So I hope we got something out of that. 2 hours can overwhelm people. But how are they going to have pudding if they can't have their meat? You can't eat your meat if you don't have any pudding. You know what I mean? So I guess they're going to ban pudding. You can't have any pudding. So you eat your meat. So what's pudding gonna be now? You can't have a squash jelly bean unless you eat your bugs.
There were certain teachers who were the children and we pouring their derision upon everything we did, exposing every weakness of a kid led by the
king. A new car, caviar?
Mysterious covers? A second corn? No, poems, no less. Poems, everybody! The lad who reckons himself a poet! Money, get back. I'm all right, Jack. Keep your hands off my stack. New car, caviar, four-star daydream. Think I'll buy me a football team. Absolute rubbish, laddies. Get on with your work. Repeat after me. An acre is the area of a rectangle whose length is good for all and whose width is not great.
We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them kids alone.
You can't have any police!
We don't need no social control.
pudding if you don't eat yummy.
The lad who makes himself a point.
Mother, do you think they'll drop the bomb? I'm pretty sure that was the next one on the album. Yeah. So we'll take it out with that. Yeah. All right, let's do it. All right, I'll catch us on the next episode. You all take care out there. If I can get her. Mother. Okay. All right, guys, I'll catch you later.
Copper is critical.
A bit of an ad. Trying to load it up, but these things happen. All right. Move that one over here. Okay, so it might take a minute or two to shut down, so I'll just play this out on the out. Look, Daddy, there's an aeroplane up in the sky. Flashbacks.
Mother, do you think they'll like this song?
Was it look? Look, Mummy, there's an aeroplane in the sky. Yes, Mummy. To me? Look, Mummy.
Mother, do you think they'll try to break my balls? Should I build the wall?
Hush now, baby, baby.
Mother, should I run for president?
Don't you cry.
Mother, should I trust the government?